Well, I'm looking forward to tonight's program with Dr. Robert Duncan. Directed energy beams, weaponry, what is going on? We'll be back with him in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Robert Duncan holds multiple degrees from Harvard University and Dartmouth College. He's an investigator, author, soon-to-be movie producer on the topics of directed energy, neurological weapons, psychological, and information warfare. Robert has worked as a business and information technology consultant to Fortune 500 companies. For the Department of Defense, he has written the Artificial Intelligence Code to track the Soviet nuclear submarine fleet with passive and active acoustical arrays, and has been to secret Navy underground bases in Europe. We've got to talk to him about that. Sample projects that Dr. Duncan has worked on for the Department of Defense include the inner-city gun fire triangulation, which is now operational in Iraq, robotic control through EEG signals, telerobotic surgery and medicine, choreographed muscle stimulation for paraplegics, helped integrate the Justice Department's local, county, federal criminal databases, and worked on the automated face recognition for terrorists in airports, and is an expert in biometric profiling with fingerprints, voice ID, vascular heat prints, and all that. Robert Duncan, our guest on Coast to Coast. Robert, that's quite a career there.
I am a renaissance man of science. I believe life is about sampling.
Absolutely. How did you get involved in all of this?
Initially, I was doing research. It has been my life goal to be able to combine computers with humans, very much like the Matrix. So I've researched various techniques in business school. I did an entrepreneurship project on wearable computing systems and borrowed a pair of heads-up displays from NASA. Being able to overlay a virtual environment onto your normal sight or sound sensors. So in this pursuit, I came across some technology that I did not know existed, and I'm quite well educated in the field of artificial intelligence mm-hmm. and most physics, and to my surprise, I was not the first one to get there. And our story begins with directed energy weapons, but will lead us as we chase the white rabbit to topics that your show normally covers. I have the answers to many of them.
Excellent. Now, tell me, though, what is the inner city gun fire triangulation, which is now operational in Iraq?
Yes, they changed the name since I worked on it. But basically, there are snipers in a building. And you set up acoustical triangulation points, it will tell you where the sniper is. And usually the problem with snipers is you don't know where they are. Are they in a tree? Are they in a building?
Right.
How are you getting hit? So that's what that system does.
I see. You know, and without arguing the merits of this war, it is a mess right now, but with this kind of technology that we have, why aren't we using it? I mean, we've got these insurgents doing whatever they're doing, you know, killing Americans in small numbers, but they do add up, and every death is an important one, as far as I'm concerned, of an American soldier. But why aren't we pulling out these incredible devices that apparently we possess and end this thing in a faster way? Because this is a disaster over there, Robert.
Yes, I just remember I'm the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger.
I'm not going to shoot the messenger.
The answer is fairly obvious. Our intention is not for peace. If you look back in the history of what we've done in the Middle East, it was always disruption, and you do not want an oil monopoly. It just is not in our best interest. So, yes, the question is, why are we not pulling out all the technology we have? Why are we not using more diplomacy? It gets much deeper than that.
You know, you're the first person that I've ever heard, one on this show, but two ever, who just basically came out and said something that might be the most accurate statement of everything. We want this to remain chaotic, don't we?
It's, you know, the proof is in the pudding. There's We have the biggest army in the world, bar none. We have more technology than any country and probably the rest of the world combined. It's simply not strategic. If you go through the game theory of world domination, it does not actually make sense for us to want peace in the Middle East. We have a track record of this. You know, I don't like to talk politics necessarily, but in order for a country not to or to become too powerful, for instance, between let's say Israel and Iran, it's good to have enemies. We always arm one of them, or India and Pakistan. You need that tension if you do not want a larger union of those countries to occur, which would then be an economic force and then threaten sort of the continued, I don't know any other word to say it, takeover of the world.
Interesting. Now, this assassination of this former Soviet spy with this radioactive material, I mean, I have never heard of this before. I mean, is this a new element to the game of
it was
intrigue?
Yeah, it's cloak and dagger games. You know, what an unusual way to kill somebody. You know, there are a lot of different poisons that will not show up in forensics. It was a message. We have access to nuclear material.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ones who did this.
And we can do it to anybody.
And do it to anybody, exactly.
Because, you know, this thing raced through this guy. You know, you see those pictures of him in his bed before he died. And then it's spreading all over the place. Does this have the potential of being a worldwide disaster, a calamity?
No. You know, there are so many weapons of mass destruction now, and almost everybody seems to have them, from viral warfare to bacterial warfare, nuclear, this new form, directed energy, dirty bombs, or just poisoning using radioactive material. While it's extremely detrimental, it hurts the environment and future generations, such as depleted uranium being used in Iraq. It's really not a threat for us here in America.
With what we think we know as American people about the war and terrorism, is it really what we know, or is there something else going on?
There's something else going on, but we can't jump into it just yet. We need to cover a few more topics.
But you will tell us later?
I will. We'll get to it. But we have to sort of walk through the history and technology.
We got to get to the path, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us to directed energy. What is that?
You know, this seems to be one of the most confiscated topics in literature. It comes about in military literature mostly. It's a very broad topic, directed energy. So, you know, this includes such a wide range of applications. Let's say lithotripters. These pressure waves, sound waves, for people who have kidney stones, pass right through the body but can pulverize a rock in your kidneys. So that's directed energy. Your microwave oven, it cooks food. Most people don't know how. It operates at 2.45 gigahertz, which is the absorption peak of the H2O, or water molecule. And it creates translational motion, which is equivalent to temperature. There are a whole bunch of other examples. The Gamma Knife at Stanford University. It's non-invasive surgery. So let's say you have a brain tumor. You have to cut through a lot of brain tissue, which you destroy, in order to get to the tumor. But by focusing X-rays from every direction around the head, the X-rays fairly harmlessly pass through most of the other tissue until they focus on the spot of the tumor and destroy those cells. Again, that's a medical use of directed energy.
I see.
There are more complicated methods, such as ion cyclotronic resonance heating, which in layman's terms would be like a surfer catching an energy wave to cause kinetic energy or heat or motion. And even though the energy is sent through everything, it only the objects which resonate at those wavelengths will absorb the energy. Here's an example. I did humpback whale research in Alaska many years back, and we wanted to take a look at the glacier and see it close up. So yeah. We left our big boat behind, and we took out the small dinghy. And the captain, as he's telling us the story of how last week a major cruise ship was toppled due to the waves created from the calving of the side of the glacier. And right after he said that, we're watching little pieces fall off. As far as the eye could see, it calved off, fell into the ocean. The captain says, prepare to swim. It's way below freezing temperature. You probably will die, but try aim for that that peak over there. But to our surprise, within a few seconds, we couldn't even see the edge of land, nothing. We just bobbed up and down, 40 feet swells. We did not capsize. Had we been in a larger ship because of the wavelength, mm-hmm. it would have toppled. Another example are earthquakes. It's a phenomenon that during earthquakes, only buildings of, between 5 and 14 stories topple. And that's because that's the resonance frequency of the earth shaking. It passes through all other objects. It shakes a building. It does some damage. But in order for it to, for a building to gain enough swinging motion, it has to be at the resonance frequency of the earth movement.
Sounds like Tesla technology, doesn't it?
Oh, there's some relation. Tesla technology is sort of a misnomer. I mean, they talk about it as speed of light technology, and it is. I don't know if Tesla really deserves credit for it necessarily. There were a lot of scientists and a lot of development that went into it. But yes, we do have death rays, so to speak. This concept of directed energy has been a fascination with our military. I mean, think about it. What do we have after nukes, biological warfare, viral warfare? What is the next great weapon?
Yeah, it's got to be this, directed energy.
It is directed energy. But it goes by a lot of different names. Obviously, the cover-up of something that's being kept more secret than the Manhattan Project has a very active disinformation force out in literature, out on the Internet.
How so?
You can see, if you understand how these weapons work, you can see how the patterns of errors that are being purposely put out on the Internet to what information warfare unit calls chasing the white rabbit. And they, in their literature, they talk about the war strategy of leading the enemy down fruitless paths and searches of information as far as they can go. And that's called chasing the white rabbit. Recently, Bush announced that he's increasing that force. It's called domestic strategic deception.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the past, various units have been caught doing it, such as INSCOM was caught promoting UFOlogy. These are often typical myths that the DOD will create. They call them cover stories, Area 51. Now, why are they creating these myths? What are they hiding? What is You know, what is the purpose?
Well, do you think they're the ones that are sending out this misinformation?
Oh, absolutely. That's how you
aliens are at Area 51. Huge triangular shaped objects are floating around.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of my favorites is the Philadelphia experiment, and they made a movie about it.
Yeah,
it was this ship that they were conducting an experiment on, and it disappeared in space and time, and no one.
The Eldridge.
Yeah. Well, in reality, there's always a hint of truth behind the disinformation. And in reality, they were conducting cloaking tests.
Real cloaking tests.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Well, not from visual perception, just from radar. So it did, in fact, disappear from radar.
Right.
And that's all that happened. But in order so the public and other countries, I imagine, don't investigate further or try to replicate the technology, they usually create a cover story or disinformation around the topic. And this is actually a very good technique. If you're interested in finding the truth, find out what it is that's being confused on purpose. What went black? Follow those leads, and you'll be able to piece it together more quickly.
This technology that we may possess, do we ever use it? I mean, are they testing it on us?
This was the most shocking thing to me, George. I grew up all American background. I have an ancestor who was the first governor of Massachusetts, and believe wholeheartedly in the Constitution and freedom of speech, and this—that's what makes our country worth dying for—to preserve those values. I was shocked as I started researching this topic that it appears there is a large number of human experiments.
Oh my!
And this is unfathomable to me. The whole honor of being a soldier and in the Department of Defense is you are there to defend. You are a public servant. And if you go to any of their websites, they have all these disclaimers and controls that human research, they must go through this particular U.S. Secretary to be signed off on, and they all have this. You start researching it further, and they don't teach this in school, but, we have to go back to the programs of MK Ultra, and there were church hearings in the mid-70s,
right.
Radiation experiments on the population. It's really incredible. It was mind-boggling. So I kept going back, and it seems like the human experimentation on the public, on good average Americans, became a reasonable thing to do in the culture of the DOD after World War II. We brought over a bunch of Nazi scientists, split them as spoils from World War II between the Russians and us.
Mm-hmm.
And
that included Wernher von Braun, right?
Yeah, and we forgave all their horrific war crimes. So they had to possess some sort of technology we wanted badly. But pretty much after that, it seems that there's a long streak, a long history of human experimentation.
Let's talk more about that when we come back, Robert. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome to Coast, Robert Duncan, our guest. Robert, before we get into all this technology, incredible technology, tell me again about your thoughts about human experimentation going on in this country still. I mean, because I remember cases, I'm from Detroit, St. Louis. I remember back in the 50s, they conducted experiments over the skies of St. Louis with people. I remember we conducted experiments over Navy ships. So I guess this is still going on.
Oh, it's going on in even greater numbers,
yeah.
And this is my surprise. A recent example is a quote from U.S. Secretary of the Air Force Michael Wynn, which shocks most people, but this was publicized, and there doesn't seem to be any outrage. There's a new weapon It's actually fairly old, but it's being passed off as new, called ADS, Active Denial Service. It's a directed energy weapon, a microwave weapon that operates at 95 gigahertz. And it heats, basically it cooks a human if it's on continuously.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the idea is it doesn't do permanent damage if it's pulsed. It feels like you are on fire and you will run. He suggested that these weapons be tested on Americans, civilians, before they're used in the battlefield, because we don't want a bad international reputation in case they do cause permanent damage.
Oh.
And but that he doesn't even understand that that statement is, treason.
It is.
And that's the mentality that we now face.
How come
we are put below the enemy?
How come the mainstream media is not going after this guy?
The Reporters Without Borders just announced their latest rankings that the U.S. News is ranked 53rd in the world for free press. And that's right in the middle of third world countries, below Israel. Even so, we're on our way out. The Constitution is history, and as well as free speech should be going soon. It's pretty incredible that there isn't public outrage. People aren't writing their senators.
Oh, this is incredible. So let's say, well, give me an example. What do they do? Drive up in some kind of white cargo van with one of these machines, and they turn it on in a neighborhood? I mean, is it that blatant?
Their techniques of disguising the way that they experiment on people have improved over 45 years quite a bit, and it relies on plausible deniability. We got documents from the Freedom of Information Act of CIA programs. They're fairly well-known program, Artichoke and program MKUltra. And to my shock, this is 1953, signed by the deputy director of the CIA, that they're going to perform a realistic simulation, program people in the U.S. to kill somebody else or, and it says this in bold text, an American official. Signed by the deputy director in 1953, that those projects are still going on today. Who's in control of this agency? MKUltra, the way it's covered up with most test victims is the psychology community. It's actually a discrediting industry. So if someone says to you, basically says to you that I'm being stalked, you immediately think, you're crazy if you say it's by the government. Well, right in the documentations of MKUltra and several others, it says stalking. What point or purpose could that possibly serve other than to discredit the target? We got hold of what the CIA calls their bag of tricks, and every single one is a discrediting tactic. From losing, make the target lose their job, make them act irrationally in public. And the list goes on. And you assume, okay, maybe those have some purpose for some foreign espionage mission. But from all the interviews I've conducted, it looks like it was meant for us.
Let's talk about some of these neurological weapons for a moment, Robert, because, you know, with this program, we have talked about ghosts and hauntings and alien abductions. I want to get your take on all this. I mean, though I staunchly believe some of these may be occurring, you believe that some of these may be created.
I obviously have a very strong opinion on the topic. Let me give you a quote by Douglas Adams. Any sufficiently advanced technology will be indistinguishable from magic from a lesser advanced civilization. And the DOD has about a 50-year lead on civilian scientists. I think many people's experiences are being misinterpreted. And you have to sort of, once you understand the capabilities of the weapon system, how long it's been around, you can piece together or backtrack from the interviews that people tell, the stories of how they're misinterpreting the effects of this weapon. So you can. There's a CNN report back in 1970, I believe, with a Dr. Becker. He wrote a book called The Body Electric.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he was quoted as saying, this technology of modulating body electricity will be the next big weapon. The Air Force is going to want to use it to make pilots see hallucinations and crash their airplanes. And he goes on to all the military possibilities. And I basically got involved in this topic because I was looking at a reverse MRI technology. How do you insert signals into the brain wirelessly at a distance? And I contacted some of these people on the internet that claimed mind control. I had never heard of mind control. And I got to learn a whole bunch about it. Almost everybody I contacted had a credible story of how they were a government experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And I interviewed over 650 people.
All right. Did you think for a moment that they were all, you know, whacked out or something like that?
Well, yes, but, you know, look at... I listen to people's information.
Right.
I don't care about titles, and I can understand what influences them. And so if you go back into the history of psychology, this was another shocker to me, that some of the scientists, the doctors, psychology, who created the DSM manual, which is basically the standard of delusions and schizophrenia, were actually CIA-paid torture doctors. So they're creating part of the symptoms listed in the manual. So, I look at everything with a skeptical eye, but the patterns became too obvious. If you only sample a few of them, the whole topic is so taboo and a turnoff to people. The associations that have been created cause the average person to just walk away. I don't want to talk about it. Well, if you look at the reality of it, mind control experiments have been going on for a long time. Let me read you a recent quote from November 6, 2006. U.S. Navy research on mind control techniques cannot be performed on human subjects without the authorization of the Undersecretary of the Navy, according to a new Navy instruction.
So we assume he's authorizing it.
That's it. The Undersecretary of the Navy is the approval authority for research involving severe or unusual intrusions, either physical or psychological, on human subjects, such as consciousness-altering drugs or mind control technologies. So, you know, I mean, they pretty much admit it, but it stays out of the awareness of the mass consciousness. This is an incredible technology that will change the world, but much like nuclear fission, it had to be a weapon first. And so I honestly think it's time. They've had it for 45 years in my calculation for them to do a technology transfer to the civilian sector for all the wonderful uses that are in store for the human race.
45 years they've covered this thing up?
Yeah, I've been able to track it back all the way to 1960. The first phased array was built in Puerto Rico, another one in Brazil. They call them over-the-horizon radars. They call them ionospheric heaters. They go by a lot of different names, but they're radar systems with incredible sensitivity and accuracy. They cover kilometers of space and have a very large number of elements. And it's it's just unintuitive for people to ponder what kind of sensitivity and active scanning techniques are available. So if the government hadn't, if you hadn't seen pictures from NASA that they posted from the Hubble Space Telescope that can see 9 billion light-years away, a quasar. I mean, that's 3/4 of the way across the universe. Imagine if you turn that around on Earth. Or if I said I can use an electron tunneling microscope and actually see these hypothesized atoms in action. Unless if you were told by an authority, it really seems like an unbelievable feat. You know, Einstein and his relativity theory, space and time, yeah, are not actually flat. It took us a long time to believe the Earth wasn't flat. So it's really almost a belief game, unless if you go through the mathematics and physics yourself, which does not lie, no matter how unintuitive it is, it often comes down to belief. And it shouldn't. I mean, the math does not lie. But because oftentimes people don't have the education in order to understand the mathematics, they have to rely on experts.
So, well, why are we making these weapons if we're not using them?
Well, we are using them. There's a whole class of weapons, again. We talked about directed energy weapons. There's another class that this gets shuffled into called non-lethal weapons. Now, normally when we think of non-lethal weapons, we think of rubber bullets, tasers,
yeah,
glue guns, you know, that kind of thing. Well, there's something much, much worse in that same category. And the non-lethal weapons directorate is controlled by the Marines, and it's under the Navy budget. There's a classification that, if it were honest, would be called worse than lethal weapons. So, you know, there's a nuclear blast. You get vaporized. You crash in a plane. Okay, it's scary, but it's going to be pretty painless. What is worse than death? This is the new classification of weapon, torture weapons. And directed energy weapons don't leave marks on the body, and they don't kill you right away. So you can keep the body alive. You can literally cause endless pain. Now, isn't that scary? Would you surrender if that were happening to you?
That is scary.
Yes, and because it doesn't leave physical marks on the body, great plausible deniability. People don't believe what they can't see, and it just happens to be in wavelengths that the human eye is not receptive to. Directed energy weapons generally operate either much above in the X-ray region or way below in the radar region, microwave region, and we simply can't see that. Now, let's say you can target an entire population. There was a document that we found that said that Taos, New Mexico, was targeted by a population-wide directed energy experiment from the Navy, and everybody began to hear a hum in their ears.
Yes.
Some people got nosebleeds.
Yep.
Made people sick. An entire town, they tracked it back to a Navy experiment.
Well, could they be experimenting on whales, and that's why they get beached so often?
Very likely. While I love to save the whales, and I think that's a good cause, I think we as a society have misprioritized our concerns in a big way. I mean, save the humans first.
Well, I agree, of course.
So these directed energy weapons or neurological weapons get much more sophisticated than you think. You start tracking back the research throughout history, and you find that it gets back again to those Nazi scientists from 1947. They had something called gravity wave weapons, scalar wave weapons. And there's a lot of confusion in the literature about what a scalar wave is or what a gravity wave is.
Go ahead, Robert. I'm sorry. I'm getting so involved in the technology. I've got a million questions. I mean, now I'm thinking maybe some of these UFOs we see that are making 90-degree angle cuts and everything else, maybe they are ours.
Well, it's actually, it'll come all the way back to this technology that most people just can't believe, that the soul has been deciphered, brain signals, reading at a distance. I told you how Dr. Becker was talking about how this would make such a great weapon in terms of inducing visual hallucinations or errors in the brain. So it becomes an informational warfare weapon. And the errors that it induces in many people are shifting of objects suddenly, a misperception of where they are. So if they're looking at stars, the stars suddenly dart off 90 degrees in their mind, and they have no objective perspective. I've listened to testimony from many people, and it still all fits the same classification of weapons. Now, of course, there are other sources. I met a colonel from the Air Force that flew the secret in development F-22s. The stealth bomber for the longest time seemed like an unusual shape or object. And these are just test airplanes. And rather than make a big deal about it, often a disinformation campaign is used. And, why not aliens? Don't blame us. Blame a ghost in the machine.
Interesting.
Blame the evil aliens. They're behind everything.
Remember the late Minnesota Senator Paul Wellstone?
No, I'm not familiar.
All right. He died with his family in a small plane crash. Some people have theorized that there was some kind of energy burst that apparently they have that they say hit the plane before it went down.
Well, they said that about that Russian that flight, I'm forgetting the number of it, that accidentally flew over Russian airspace. They said that they saw, bright lights. It looked like beams crossing and a glowing ball.
Let's talk about some of that, even the JFK crash, when we come back. Robert Duncan, are you familiar with HAARP up there in Alaska?
I am. It's actually the unit that integrates all of the various surveillance radars is now called HIPAS. HAARP is only a part of it. HIPAS.
What are they doing with that thing?
It gets a lot of blame for being behind directed energy assaults,
right. weather manipulation,
earthquake machines, etc. But people don't understand that all these phenomena have been occurring in experiments before HAARP was ever built. It was built in 1991. The other phased arrays that are pointed over the United States in Brazil and Puerto Rico have similar resolutions. They were built back in the early 60s. What they do is, if you imagine the Earth is instead the atmosphere, you're in a swimming pool and you're underwater. When you look up, you actually see a reflection at some distance of the bottom of the pool. That's called total internal reflection. It happens at lower wavelengths under about 700 megahertz and a 20-degree angle from zenith. And this is why they're called over-the-horizon radars, is that they actually can see beyond the curvature of the Earth. They cover almost three-quarters of the world. Each one. The Russians have seven. We have an endless number, much larger. It's total global surveillance. It's part of the Star Wars defense system. But it serves multiple purposes. It's not just a radar for intercontinental ballistic missile launches or airplanes coming into our space. It is actually a neurological weapon, part of the directed energy arsenal on a global scale.
Okay, let's assume for a moment somebody calls their doctor and says, "Doctor, I hear voices in my head." And the doctor says, "Well, all right, I'm going to refer you over to Dr. Smith, who happens to be a psychiatrist." And Dr. Smith has heard this before.
Yes, well, it's written. And psychologists I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, aren't really scientists. Psychology is based on cultural norms, and any deviation from it is considered a mental illness. So all they do is look through the symptoms list and then prescribe a drug accordingly. I interviewed, like I said, 650 people, many of whom heard voices. Well, I did a little bit of research and found out there are four weapons that project voices into people's head. Not very familiar in this country, but in others, it is.
Like voices to possibly even kill?
Of course. So one technology is called ultrasonic heterodyning. Now, that's near field. They have it in vending machines in Japan. People walk by it. Only the person directly in front of it can hear any of the information. And they had a candid camera show to make people look like they're crazy by just projecting voices in their head. Now, that's only good for, 50 feet. There are other classifications of weapons called the voice of God weapon, biocommunication, microwave hearing effect. It turns out there is a biological interaction at many different levels with different waveforms. Dr. Lin from the University of Illinois studies that particular effect. There's a colonel that said back in the 60s who contracted a Dr. Frey to project voices into people's head. And the colonel said, if you can project voices into the enemy's head, I promise you I will talk them to their death. So it was a goal of the Army for quite some time. And while interviewing these people, now you have to picture this, these 650 people are from all walks of life, all religions, all nationalities, at all ages. I mean, we're talking children to, the elderly, from professionals. It's really quite incredible. And so you asked, what kind of voices do they hear? Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you a few top quotes and tell me how a child could come up with any of these to say, I hear voices, mommy, this is what they say. So, I am God. You have been chosen for a holy mission to kill the wicked. We are your little dwarf friends, Judge. We need you to rule on a few cases that we advise. We are satanic cult here to abuse you. Go ahead, tell us. You'll get locked up for being crazy. I am Colonel Casper, the ghost. Try to catch me if you can. We are evil lizard aliens taking over the world. We are the Borg. Resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. And here's one that a child told me. We are brain nappers. We are going to steal your mind and experiment with it, then kill you to cover up our torture experiments. A couple more. We are Iranian terrorists. You should attack us for torturing you. We are the FBI. The Oklahoma bomber couldn't stop us. We are the Russian invaders, and we have complete control over all your leaders. That stuff just doesn't pop into somebody's head.
That's true.
These are complete sentences. And if anybody who knows sort of neurology and the way the speech processing center works in the brain, it's just impossible that there is some sort of mental defect that could give rise to a sudden onset of a pulsing tinnitus and then these quotes. Now, these were the introductory quotes. From this point on, they continued to hear voices. Till this day, as far as I know. One woman, and this is kind of funny, was describing to me what her tinnitus sounds like. 20 million Americans suffer from this tinnitus. Well, mine's really different. It's a melody. It's very high-pitched, very tinny, but it's a melody. And it goes like this. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I, of course,
sounds
told
like
her
close encounter,
that
right?
Is Close Encounters of the Third Kind. They're spoofing you. So You know, it's so beyond probability when you start looking at the statistics. It really becomes obvious. But who has the time or the interest to interview as many people as I have or get to the bottom of the actual technology? So it tends to just be a sort of a discrediting tactic. If you hear voices, they're crazy. Well, there's actually a weapon system that does this. Now, worst of all, think about it. It's called the voice of God. Okay, we could use it in Iraq. We are your God, Allah. Lay down your arms. But think of the abuse, the potential abuse. We could project, or they could project, the voice of God into religious and political leaders or religious leaders and control them that way through their belief system. So it's a scary weapon.
Well, it sure is. All right, let's talk a little bit about JFK. Some people have theorized, a few, that he may have been shot down not conventionally, but unconventionally. What do you think?
You know, we enter, obviously, the speculation zone, conspiracy speculation. Well, you know, what is a conspiracy, for good or for bad? It's a group of people who've decided to keep secrets. And when you hypothesize about their motives, often it's referred to as conspiracy theory. Well, that is the scientific process. We have to theorize and then prove it out. So if I have a hypothesis about that topic, it's the Kennedys have had a dark cloud over them for a long time. JFK was killed in 1963. And 10 days before his assassination at Columbia University, he said, there has been a plot fomented under the presidency of the United States, and before I leave office, I must inform the citizens of their plight. I think that's very telling. So if you were trying to control politics many generations in advance, and we don't have a two-party system, can't be that hard, who potentially could be president, JFK Jr. could have been up there. And as I said earlier, the colonel, the doctor, said that one of the capabilities of the weapons they were developing is to misjudge the horizon, misjudge their perceptions, and induce visual errors into pilots. Well, how did he die? He misjudged the horizon. So, you know, it's we'll never, I don't think, know unless there's a very honorable, you know, conspirator out there that comes forward, but I'm sure they'd be discredited. But yeah, it's quite plausible that they use directed energy.
Are we
neurological weapons
so far ahead of other nations with this kind of technology?
I honestly don't know. Certainly the Russians developed it about the same time. They used it on the U.S. Embassy in Moscow in 1968.
For spying, right?
Yeah, for spying.
Yeah, I remember that.
But it's not how people think. The technology is so much more advanced than we've already talked about. There's a Danish colonel who came forward who had worked at a U.S. military base and said he watched experiments being done on people with a device in another room that was causing white hot anger in the person, almost dialing in any emotion that they would feel. So we found other documents in the Army. They've mapped out every sensory pathway. Well, what could you do with that? You basically, if you can cause people to be angry, you can cause war. The list goes on with the capabilities of these weapons. Colonel John Alexander,
I know John well.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
He
co-authored a book with Tom Clancy called Non-Lethal Weapons. I don't necessarily recommend it because it's not about this topic. It's about the traditional non-lethal weapons. But there was a quote on a website called the BioCybernaut, and it had to do with what is termed, and most people think it's fantasy, EEG cloning. How do you make one person's brainwaves just like somebody else's? Would you have the same thoughts? So he had a page quote, the homepage of this company, that said, and I'll just paraphrase,
sure.
You know, when this other colonel and I learned how to control our brainwaves through this visual interface, within a week, we were sharing top secrets with each other without speaking. And, you know, I called up the president of this company, wanted to know more about it. I mean, this is an interesting technology. The next day, he pulled that quote off the website. And so I investigated further, and this EEG cloning used to be called, in both Russia and the U.S., psychic warfare. The Pentagon had a unit back in the 70s, and it's been rolled into psychological operations and informational warfare. But, you know, traditionally, it's a mystical energy of how people can remote view and perform other tasks. Well, there's an actual technology behind it. And, you know, we can go into more detail. But this is real. This has been around for a while. It is a type of mind reading. Now, it's not 100%, but it's getting there. And that's the next weapon, complete control of the enemy. If you do your research, you will find under the U.S. Air Force, the Directed Energy Directorate has a program that's still in science fiction mode called the Personnel Effects. And it describes how to take control of the enemy's senses, their body, literally like the Matrix. You know how the agents just take over someone's body and become them? Well, that's an actual real technology that they are working on, precise neurological control. And we can get back to some of the secret technology that I referred to with the gravity waves, scalar waves. What are those? When I was 12, I was taking a class at a college with a famous holography professor. And holography are those 3D images produced by two monochromatic coherent laser beams.
Right.
And he posed to my class this question. If you have a combining cube, two lasers from each end, and you turn on one of the lasers, it projects a spot on the wall. You turn on both lasers, and if they're exactly in phase, the spot will be twice as bright. Okay, that's very intuitive. Now move one of the lasers half a wavelength away. The spot on the wall disappears. But where does the energy go? Energy must be conserved. It literally annihilates. Where does it go? And that's sort of the basis of gravity waves. Now, why it comes into play is with these phased arrays, without burning a person. I mean, HARP, I believe, generates 10 gigawatts of energy. You know, that would totally fry a person. But if you use it in deconstructive mode, it won't fry the person, but it still will reflect off the surfaces. And this is the unbelievable part for most people. If you look at astronomical research, tracking meteors, these phased arrays can see 300,000 ions being created or destroyed with a meteor traveling 6,000 kilometers a second. The brain, actually only a neuron in the brain, creates more than 300,000 ions a second. If you go back into the DOD research, they are very interested in plasmas. So this sensitivity of 300,000 ions it just does not make intuitive sense, but that's the way the mathematics works out.
Do you think we have uncovered anti-gravity propulsion systems?
No, that's a cover story.
Aha!
It has to do with these gravity waves. How do you mislead people? Well, the gravity waves that are actually created are so small and insignificant. I mean, E equals MC squared. You aren't getting anything free. In fact, the whole free energy of Thomas Bearden, if you want my opinion, is basically a device that captures the radar energy from all these ionospheric heaters. It's not free at all. We're paying for it as taxpayers. They run on diesel. So this active scanning technique, it reflects at a great distance off of very small concentrations of ions. Our entire body electricity works on ions. And so it is very possible to actually look at the reflection of the speed of the ions. So when they bounce off, the ions are moving. The Doppler shift of these ions are actually captured back at the source when the beams separate again. So it seems like you're not being scanned, basically, but it has incredible signal-to-noise ratio. And so they call the Doppler shift, as a neuron depolarizes or anything else, I believe F-spread in their description of the weapons capabilities. So, yeah, they very much are behind the mind control experiments.
When we come back, Robert, I want to talk with you more about the alien abduction phenomena and get your take on all of that. Who's doing it and why, all right?
Sounds good.
Robert Duncan, our guest, we'll be back with him in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we'll also open up the phone lines, too. A lot of you have been trying to call and get in now, so we'll give you an added bonus here. We'll be back. Robert, if you look at the estimates, about 1 million Americans claim that they might have been abducted by extraterrestrials. It's an incredible figure. What do you think's going on here? Are they being bombarded with some of this neurological technology?
The statistic that I read was even more incredible, and it was from BBC News, British News.
Mm-hmm.
They said that 20 million Americans claim to have been abducted, had alien experiences. Yeah, that's out of a population of 300 million.
That's huge.
That's huge. Why do we not hear about this on the news? Yes, it's you know, it clearly something much bigger is going on here. From the quotes I gave you earlier of people who sort of get abducted, sounds like they're getting lazy or complacent, and that they're getting tired of the alien abduction story because they're starting to mix it up with different quotes. One interesting event that I can tell you about that might put an end to this evil alien lizard stuff that David Icke talks about. I was at a victim's house who claimed government abuse with directed energy weapons, and I was videotaping. The victim became incredibly agitated. Their personality seemed like it was changing and split. And when this was happening, I was filming, the video camera became really white. You know, this sounds just like a typical haunting, doesn't it? Became saturated in the colors. And I captured this several times now on film during these events, that during the saturation process, it causes the person whom you're filming to look like they have cat eyes or lizard eyes. Now, this is a directed energy. It stimulates the matrix of the CCD camera, the charge-coupled device. And by this oversaturation, produces this effect that if cameras move, the whites in the eyes bleed together. The person you're filming looks evil and satanic. So I think that's where the myth began. It's a directed energy attack. You know, 20 million Americans, that's huge. That's just unbelievable to me, although it's been reported so many times. Now, there's a correlation. The number 20 million comes up again, and that's 20 million Americans suffer from tinnitus. Tinnitus is the 100% correlation factor between those who believe they're being controlled through these mind control networks and when you look at it,
they may be right. You know, a few years ago, everybody would think that they were nuts. They may be right.
I'm certain they are telling the truth. You know, I probably shouldn't bring this up, but imagine how a religion like Christianity, who only relied on three witnesses, testaments of people who saw the rising of a person from the dead, we have thousands of witnesses, and no one wants to believe them. What's going on? And they're still alive. So, yeah, it's I don't know any other word to put it. It is a takeover.
Right under our eyes.
Right in front of our noses. And, you know, it turns out, once you understand the capabilities of the weapon systems, the best-kept secrets are hidden in plain view. Put them in movies. Put them in documents. Spoof them. And people will assume it's fiction. And, in fact, that's one of the most common phrases if you want to try to track back who's involved with the development of this technology. They've been coached to say, anytime they're questioned, that's science fiction. That's futuristic. That's Star Wars technology. And the list goes on. But it helps. Once you become worldly and wise enough and have some street smarts about how to know who's lying, it makes it very easy to parse through all the disinformation and get right to the facts.
Let's take a few phone calls, and then next hour we'll take the whole hour for phone calls. First-time caller line, you're on with us. Hi there.
Yeah, this is Drew P.
Hi, Drew. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I've just been thinking about every single aspect of what you guys have been talking about. And I've noticed that every single thing y'all said has been related to a binary system, whether it be good versus evil or heavy versus light or warm versus cold, or whether it be positive versus negative, or any aspect of what you guys have said has related to a binary system. And if you think about the way that would be most realistic to communicate through the systems of the universe, it would be the light. A binary system, light, dark, like Morse code. But at the same time, like the human body, you're talking about the weapon systems, like there's a middle part of that. It's like you've got on your body, on your skin, you've got warmth receptors and you got cool receptors. Now, when they fire at the same time, warm and cool at once, well, you either experience extreme temperatures or pain, just like when you're experiencing light and dark. Or sane and insane.
Well, mm-hmm. You know, as we
every
say,
system
yin,
related
yin,
binarily,
yang.
And the creatures out there in the universe are no different. They all talk to us in some form of binary system, which will relate to everything. And I believe in infinitism is my religion. I made it up. But the basic thing is this, man. When you look out in the universe, you think you're ever going to see an end of space and things. No, if you look into a microscope, the smarter we get, the smaller it's going to appear. There's never going to be an end to greatness or smallness.
All right.
He has a very good point, but it's fundamental to human intelligence or intelligence as we know it that we define things in the extreme. How would you know what light is? If you didn't have dark, how would you know? You know, one classification versus the other.
You wouldn't. If how would you know what evil is if you didn't have good?
That's
and vice
exactly
versa.
Right. There wouldn't be a word for it, and that would be the norm. That would be your reality. The brain operates in a somewhat of a similar fashion, and the reason that gives rise to it is neurons, a very fundamental and easily understandable unit of computation that gives rise to our perception, our conscious self. It takes in a bunch of inputs and then basically is a comparator, a thresholder, and then decides to fire or not fire. It ends up being binary. Does it hit the threshold, and then it becomes a signal that gets propagated throughout the brain. The caller has a very good point. The way our fundamental understanding of our environment is based on the contrast between events, and that the brain just acts as a correlator. It correlates events and then classifies them. So, yes, there's definitely an insight there.
Back to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, my name is Andrea.
Hi, Andrea. Where are you calling from?
From Florida now.
Okay, Florida. Go ahead.
I am being targeted with directed energies, and I'm trying to find out if there's a way to protect myself from them.
Good question, Robert, because I was going to ask you myself, what can people do if they think they're being directed like Andrea is from beams and other people as well?
You know, and this has been another sad moment in my life during this investigation. Isn't this why we spend so much money on defense? Why aren't there shelters or shielding? Whose job is it to actually defend us? We have nuclear fallout shelters, but we don't have directed energy shelters. You know, ding, 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 something's going on there. So to answer the question, you can do some research on the web. There are several civilians that are funded by angel investors that are doing civilian defense work, ironically against the Department of Defense or evil aliens, depending on how you look at it. And I gave you a description of the weapon system. There are basically two things you can do, and that is jam the signal so it doesn't make sense. And they have to be bioinformationally coherent signal. Only your body and brain will understand. Anyone else subjected to it, it ends up being noise, and they won't feel anything. So if you try to jam it, scramble it with body electricity scramblers, and there are a few people studying that out on the web, that will help. And there's some simple shielding, some cheap stuff. They're using a couple different surveillance techniques, it looks like. You have to block both the magnetic field as well as the electric. There's a cheap material called mu metal, which is an alloy that you can purchase. That will block the magnetic field somewhat, dampen it. Everything is a signal-to-noise ratio in communication. You see those little bars on your cell phone go down when you go into certain buildings. Well, the biocommunication systems that are targeting people operate in a similar fashion. So you have to combine several disrupting technologies. Another cheap one is Mylar, which it's known as space blankets, and it's a metallized a plastic, has aluminum on it. Aluminum has no local field magnetic permeability. The mu metal will block that, but on top of that, you can add ion, static electricity, believe it or not, high voltage, extra ions that will reflect the radar energy even better. These radar fields are also called earth penetrating tomography. They go deep into the earth. Civilians can rent these units, radar units, that look for pipes, penetrate the earth at 450 megahertz. So it's hard to block, especially at those intensities. But those are a few of the techniques. There are some far more advanced ones in the works. People who are being targeted, I'm a bit overwhelmed, so I recommend other websites and people to contact. You're not alone. It seems to be an epidemic.
Is it criminal? What's going on?
It's worse than that. I mean, if you listen to these people's stories, put into a torture chamber, worse than lethal weapons, innocent citizens by the thousands. What is that?
Do you believe that, Robert?
I know it to be true.
That's amazing.
And no one will investigate it. I mean, I went to Congress to testify, 23 congressional offices.
Did they listen to you?
Some of them did, who were familiar with previous abuses. But Congress ends up being somewhat impotent. They don't have an army. Whoever controls the guns controls, the world. And so they really don't seem to be able to do anything. There is a legislature on the table called H.R. 1026 that is going in front of the House, and it's to reopen the investigations of all of these past programs from COINTELPRO, MKUltra, and try to start an investigation. My gut feel is there's something very weird going on, and something of this magnitude that can be covered up, they can probably squash this bill. But call your congressman, call your state attorney general. There's lots of activism. There's a lot of protests. You don't hear about it in the news. It's eerie.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Good morning. You're on Coast to Coast.
Yes, I'm an ex-Air Force intelligence officer, and let me tell you, this guy, he has just enough knowledge to be dangerous. He covers a lot of area of which there is valid research in. But let me tell you, if you zero in on one little thing that caught my ear earlier on in the program, he talks about the F-22 as if it's some super secret program. The F-22 is a fighter with stealth characteristics. It's been in the open budget for over a decade now, been pushed back by budgetary considerations. He has totally mischaracterized the F-22. He doesn't even know what he's talking about.
Okay. So when he that's actually fair. I do not know what I'm talking about, the F-22. I was interviewing a colonel from the Air Force who was flying these, test flying me, telling me his story of how he got abducted and attacked. I know nothing about the plane. This is just his testimony. He may have been miscategorizing it. He said he discovered Halliburton misappropriations right before he got attacked. You know, you're absolutely right in catching that if you know more.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, we're with you.
Okay. See, that's just so. Therefore, when he says that, and I don't mean to impugn everything he says, but you know, when I pick up on that, then I say, what else does he not know what he's talking about that I don't know either? Okay.
Yeah. The point is, we're dealing with a very complex issue. You cannot use binary thinking. It is a logical inference error that is used as a discrediting tactic. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You have to investigate every.
Well, I don't want to do that, but when you're talking about Mylar, okay, now we're back to the aluminum tinfoil on their head out of Reynolds Wrap category, okay?
Yeah, you know, that is interesting. I've also found, not to discredit you, but every ex-military, ex-intelligence officer has been involved in some sort of cover-up after they retire. I don't know if they stay on the payroll. But the aluminum tin hats, yes, how funny. These people trying to protect their skulls from alien signals. Well, MIT did some research on this, and I commend them for that, for covering such a taboo topic. And here was their final conclusion, that the radio frequencies that the body and head give off, which are different for each person, we're like radio antennas with a whole spectrum of absorption frequencies, happen to fall exactly in FCC-declared military bands, off-limits. Scanners can't even access them. They have to put in a special microchip. So their conclusion, this again is MIT, a very respected technical school, is that this is the reason that the FCC dedicated these bands to the military.
We're going to roll along this hour, Robert, but next hour we'll take full phone calls again. It's going by fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. lot to talk about.
It's scary.
It is. It is. Hopefully, this. We have to wake up as a country. It part of the technology, if you want to get into it, is hypnosis.
But you can't wake up unless it's publicized in a major way. I mean, someone like Lou Dobbs from CNN, he should be all over this thing.
That's what I thought, and everybody thinks that who discovers it. Like I said, we're ranked 53rd. In the world for free press. That's just one of many free.
Do you have an email for people to get a hold of you or anything like that?
I do. I would prefer that just scientists wanting to learn more about it would contact me at directedenergy@hotmail.com. I have the name of a few websites for victims if they need help. There are organizations popping up all over the country. But if you, and you can get to them by contacting, let's say, mindjustice.org, which is Cheryl Welsh's website. She's been an activist in this area for over a decade. Raven1.net, Eleanor White. FreedomFCHS.com for people that are being harassed because of their views.
Okay, Robert, stay with us. We'll be back. We'll take final phone calls next hour on Coast to Coast AM. Robert, when you were starting out, I assume you did not start out with any feelings of ill thoughts about what subversive activities might be going on here.
Oh, hardly. I was fully delusional, if you would, and in the Matrix. I watched television, and I had no idea any of this, was a reality. And it's only as you dive deeper into it do you realize the long history of the citizens looked at as a tax battery to power the military-industrial media machine. So no, absolutely not. And I can't say I have ill feelings. I just am shocked that the America that I thought I knew does not exist. And just coming to grips with the reality, the good and the bad and the ugly.
Yeah, I think so. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to our east of the Rockies line. Well, let's go west first. He's been waiting for a long time. Hi there.
Hi. George,
yes, sir.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
My name is Dave, North Hollywood, California. Calling about, I had to jump out of bed when I heard your guest talking.
Okay.
And call you, first time caller.
What was the subject matter that got you going?
Well, I think he may have an answer to a 30-year personal mystery of mine. If you recall, I think this past April, you and Art Bell, I think, were talking about some presumed earthquake activity in San Diego County.
Yes.
And I don't know if you ever got a good answer to that, but I had a very similar experience 30 years ago, just about 50 miles south of there, on the coast of Baja California, north of Ensenada, where for a period of 5 days we were camped out right on the coast, surfing during spring break of 1975, and we felt the ground shake, the sky rumble, and if you looked up, the atmospheric conditions were such that you could actually see shock waves going across the sky, just like he described, your guest described, at the bottom of a pool. And I study weather, amateurishly, but seriously, and I've never come up with any answer to that. So I thought maybe it might be related to some over-the-horizon radar or earthquake generating.
My topic of specialty does not extend into the weather weapon capability or the earth crust manipulation. I've read about it.
Do you assume, though, Robert, that it is being used, that it is out there?
It probably is. I don't think it's been developed far enough to. This is just my personal opinion, and like I said, I haven't researched this to actually cause earthquakes with any predictable accuracy. In terms of shifting the weather, yes, it can heat the upper atmosphere, causing updrafts. But, we've had weather technology for a long time. Planes would seed clouds with dust to cause the formation of moisture into droplets of rain. Can you steer a hurricane? I simply don't think it has the power to do that.
Wildcard Line, welcome to the show. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. Love you.
Thanks.
Hey, Robert.
Hi.
I've been having problems, sort of like what you've been talking about, since October of 2001. But I don't think it's just the government. I think the things that have happened to me are so unbelievable, and that it all started when I started reading the Bible. But I can think something, and seriously, I will get a response, like from something on the TV or the radio or somebody.
Yeah, that's called media feedback, and many subjects experience it. It's a very complex neurological, psychological description that we don't have time to go into here. But the weapon system is called SATAN, silent assassination through amplification.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so when you amplify neurons, if you run the neurological models with artificial neural networks, it actually gives rise to finding correlations that aren't really there or aren't statistically significant, what are classically considered delusional. So it does not, I'm not saying at all that you're delusional. It's just that is a common side effect of someone who is under the human experimentation. You mentioned something else at the beginning that you were you're reading the Bible, and then this all started happening.
It's changed it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, again, I've studied all these scripts. They're classically about five of them, and a Armageddon-like scenario is often used, and extreme spiritualism. There is a Russian scientist that created a machine at 18 kilohertz. He could generate, if it was placed next to the head, what people would describe as spiritual experiences. And there's the famous Leiden machine that can put an audience to sleep just with electromagnetic frequencies. I would go onto one of the websites I recommended earlier and find some other people that experienced the same thing. You can talk about it. If you contact me, I'll give you a more complete description how the perceptions work in the mind. There was a Dr. Bird, who I believe was Army Intelligence, way back at the beginning before this technology went black. And he talks about it a little bit in the early 80s. And he said, and I don't know what this means, when they were doing research at five psychotronic channels, the subject felt like it was an alien experience. At 12 psychotronic channels, they could not distinguish our voice from their own or the thoughts we were trying to inject. So it did not feel artificial. It was a complete, perfect illusion. I don't know what a psychotronic channel is in that reference.
Okay, thank you for that. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi there, it's Liz calling from Canada.
Hi, Liz.
Hi there. I've got a question for Robert. Is that are there some people that might be more sensitive to sounds like harp? Because, like, in 98, I started to hear a constant sound that sounded kind of like computer transfer data sound in my head.
Yeah, common symptom.
And I was shocked to hear the sound, and I had never heard anything like that in my head before. Like, it shouldn't be in a head. And I told people, like, I worked at a TV station, so I was sitting underneath a huge antenna for, like, 40 hours a week. And I told people, and they sent me to a psychiatrist, and I was diagnosed.
Of course, and that's the discrediting tactic. You know, there's something even more ominous going on here. I can't find a pattern of the people that are being grabbed for these experiments. It generally starts off with a melodic tinnitus. I described earlier, one woman actually heard Close Encounters of the Third Time playing repetitively and consistently. Clearly, there's no abnormality of the brain that could create that. It is an external signal.
Like, could sitting under a giant antenna like that help people hear a signal?
No, not at all. Often people are, you know, there may be experiments at near field that they're working on. ADS, Active Denial Service, is a mobile unit that it's very different, but it operates at what I call near field. HARP and the other phased arrays have nothing to do with the microwave antennas or living close to electrical wires, as far as I know. But there is something called a bioamplification factor, and this is genetically determined. This has given rise to the old school psychics. How sensitive are they? And it has to do with the neurotransmitter secretion and reuptake. And you know, there are various factors. Again, it's very complex, but there are environmental factors that can make people more sensitive. Over time, the reuptake receptors of several of the neurotransmitters are damaged, and so the neurotransmitter hangs around longer. If that's the case, using what I called earlier ion cyclotronic resonance of the calcium 2 plus ion is responsible for the postsynaptic reuptake and the voltage potential on the neuron that's summed at the hillock. And so, yeah, there are actually people who are more sensitive and less sensitive, and the selection factor may be sort of a genetic pressure of the population to become less sensitive. If you kill off all the people that are sensitive to this weapon, then the Russians, if they were ever to use their weapon against us, wouldn't affect our society as much. So that's a speculation as to why they're doing what they're doing. But, yes, there is a sensitivity level. There are some things you can do to reduce it, good health, vitamins. But otherwise, you know, your brain chemistry is fairly set. You can take, unfortunately, if you try to take Ritalin or any of the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, that would actually hypothetically make you more sensitive. And you know, you're at the point you need shielding and jamming, and to kind of get involved with the activism of having this investigated openly, having a public discussion about it.
Okay, let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us with Robert Duncan. Hi there.
Hi. You have a great guest on tonight, and I'm wondering why he's still alive. Have you had your life threatened, first of all?
You know, a couple times, but I'll quote Shakespeare. A coward dies many deaths, but the noble die but once. Roosevelt said, "Fear, you know, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Death is not what we should be afraid of. It's the pain of death. It is torture weapon. So, yes, do I worry I'm going to be put on the network soon? It's a possibility. But, you know, I'm just a good man. While I'm here, I'm trying to help people. You know, the human race is my species. You do good works while you're here. It's that simple. I have to tell the truth as I see it.
Exactly. Well, thank God for people like you. Not too many people have cojones out there to talk about this sort of stuff and risk the chance of being a guinea pig themselves. But I'd like to point on this. I've been studying the chemtrail phenomenon for a long time. These airliners are flying all over the United States and dropping the stuff in the air, and people have sampled the stuff. They have radioactive materials and cancer-causing materials, all sorts of strange stuff. But what happened is I worked at airlines about 10 years, the airline industry. I know jets. So I looked at through one of my telescopes, looking at one of these airlines, one of those aircraft, trying to identify it. And I talked to a few friends, and I looked on the Internet trying to see who purchased these airplanes because they're custom-built. And I think they're Airbus 300s, I think, modified Airbus 300s. And what happened, accidentally, a month later, I go on Google Satellite, and I see these things parked at Area 51. One of them's on the runway, and one's being pulled out of hangar. They call it Hangar 1-8. It's being pulled out. So whatever these guys are spraying on us, those aircraft are based at the facility, Groom Lake facility, at least those the two that are on the runway. And after I said this, they're going to pull that off the website, I'm sure, on Google Satellite. So if anybody out there is listening, you know, get in to save those images and send them to George Norrie, because the chem spray is some sort of experiment. It could be part of a mind control experiment, like you're saying, with probably maybe using HARP as conduit or some sort of genetically modification project. What's your opinion? I'm trying to get some information. What do you think is going on with the chem spray?
Yeah, you've gone outside my area of expertise. The rabbit hole is very deep, and I know that it does seem like that may be part of it. I'll try to give two sides of the issue. Often people mistake the vapor trail created by airline engines as chemtrails, and this is actually just vaporization in the sky. It happens when you compress and heat the air at that altitude. On the other hand, the cover-ups are so huge. The cell phone scare of certain frequencies giving rise to cancers in the brain that caused stocks to dip for a while. And, well, you know, do the research yourself.
And I will say for him that the guests we've had on who've talked about chemtrails before, William Thomas and people like that, they think it's weather manipulation.
Some people say weather manipulation. Others say it's a chemical that will help subdue the population.
Yes, dumbing us down.
Yeah, dumbing us down. And all those are possibilities. I don't have the access to an environmental lab to validate any of these claims, so I can't talk about it. But, I appreciate doing your homework. It's something the EPA should be doing, but we citizens have to look out for ourselves and double-check all the work.
So you promised me at the outset of the program when I asked you the question about is terrorism really what we think it is, you kind of hinted that had an answer here.
Yeah, I mean, think about the word terrorism. It never existed just a few years ago. All of a sudden now everybody's a terrorist. It break the word down. It means to scare people. Well, you know, hey, people, quit being a coward. Then terrorism wouldn't work. How can you scare a country that has a national holiday, Halloween, that we scare each other? You go to a video store, 3 out of 4 videos are horror videos. I'm not sure where this scare tactic is coming from. If we're talking about that it means guerrilla warfare, well, then let's call it that. It's warfare. So it's just a marketing, a buzzword. Anyone can be thrown into that category. You say something wrong, you scare me, you're a terrorist. It's the same finger-pointing techniques that have been used throughout American history, Maoism in Russia. It's just standard. Read your history books. It's been used.
You must be disappointed knowing what you know.
Of course, the initial shock is always very depressing, but... you know, on the other hand, I feel very privileged that I've been put in this position to enlighten the masses, to help usher in a new dawn for mankind. Once this technology and these secrets are revealed, there is something wonderful in store for us.
What are you working on next, then, with your work?
I work on so many different projects. My next investigative report is actually going to be on Scientology. I know nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know nothing about the religion. Huh. It often gets called a cult. It's very linked into the CIA and all sorts of manuals. And, you know, if I were just to speculate, it sounds like if there were an experiment by the CIA, if there were one world religion, can you combine science and theology?
Interesting.
I know nothing about it, so I want to infiltrate and find out.
Let's take final calls when we come back. With Robert Duncan, I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. So let's go to the phones. Robert Duncan, our guest. We'll go to first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah.
I have two questions for Dr. Duncan.
You must tell me where you're calling from, though.
Los Angeles.
Okay.
My first question is, has he ever heard of John St. Clair Akwe versus the NSA? Is this court case credible, and is this the technology that Dr. Duncan is referring to? And my second question is, for those of us who do understand this technology and how it works, it is absolutely nonsensical and absurd that there is no government accountability and that there is not greater public awareness about this issue. The organizations and the activism that you're referring to is very comforting, but over the course of years, it has not managed to create any kind of government accountability or even greater public awareness.
That's unfortunately true. It's absolutely astounding. Anyone who has the time that doesn't, have... a 10-hour day job and doesn't come home to the hypnotube to shut down the brain should research it. Everything we're saying is true and shocking, but it just feels better sort of in this Sesame Street Disneyland reality that we created of our country. The court case that you're referring to, I think it did pass by my desk. There have been numerous class action lawsuits in UK and the US. There are many going on right now. There are many individual cases. Dr. Cameron, a torture CIA paid experimenter, I think it was him. So someone successfully sued in a class action against McGill University in Canada, where he was practicing, developing some of these techniques. Generally, almost all of them are thrown out, and it's mostly because they do not have the expertise. Their belief systems have sort of been hacked, that it just can't be true. This is science fiction. All I can say, keep plugging away. The Afro-Americans did get some equal rights eventually, but it took a long time. It's sad that this is the situation. I'm not a legal expert. I try to just stay within my focus or field, and that's where I do the most good. But the technology gets actually far more sophisticated, and we're talking 45 years of development. And when you put the AI technology into it, language bots, covariance matrices of word probability choice, scalability of the weapon system to disable targets, just using the Silent Sam system, it's an incredible number of weapons that they're basing on a few different technologies. So it goes across the board. You have to get a good sample set before you can understand the patterns and how they're improving the weapon system through something called genetic evolutionary algorithms that mimic the evolutionary process. So the human guinea pigs are actually improving what it looks like the kill ratio statistics of the malicious scripts and personalities of one form of the weapon.
Okay, does that help you?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Good morning.
Hey, George. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
You're doing a good job with the show.
Well, thank you.
Had a question with, or for your guest, rather, and it's concerning Father Gabriel Amorth, who wrote a book called "The An Exorcist Tells His Story." And
what year was that written?
I'm gonna guess here. I don't have it right here with me, but it's probably 99, 2000.
Okay.
He recounts really terrifying things. He's a chief exorcist in Rome. And I've read also the book by Father Malachi Martin called Hostage to the Devil. There are some differences between the two, in both describing those who are mostly victims of possession. But a lot of things line up. There's a lot of similarities. And I was curious if exorcism and possession was a field that you dive. Joined the show a little late, so I'm not sure if that's a field.
Yes, I actually do cover that a little bit. Just like a lot of the weapons test subjects are being thrown into a classification of mental illness. Obviously, there is some real mental illness. It's just a way of hiding them. Similarly, I don't know. Exorcism is written about, in the past century. I can't really explain that. That truly may be just neurological imbalances. Maybe it was trying to explain away personality disorders. I'm not sure. But in common day, the people that complain about possession very clearly are subject to what are called the EG cloning experiments. The CIA do something called hive minds, and it's very bizarre. They actually try to grow together, connect multiple minds together for a higher order intelligence. If you remember in the past, there were split brain studies where they cut the corpus callosum. The subjects of this, and that was for a cure for epilepsy, interestingly, even though the two halves, hemisphere of the brain, do not talk to each other, still felt the sense of self as if it were a single entity, even though in actuality the two halves would not talk to each other. So in the reverse sense, you can actually grow more halves of the brain together. And it's called psychic warfare. You literally, again, like the Matrix, can mingle, heterodyne, the two brain signals, and it feels like a possession to most people. See, I used to study multiple personalities. Why would they be studying that? It actually is just a cover story, the modern-day possessions for this EEG heterodyning technology and experimentation.
Fantastic. Thanks for your answer.
You're welcome.
Very well thought out. Thank you.
Sure thing. Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, George, I really enjoy your show. I've been listening for about 8 years, and my question for the doctor is,
okay,
does he know anything about Project 112 Shipboard Hazard and Defense, which was military veterans as unwitting test subjects in chemical and biological warfare, which I think I was involved in, and I can't prove it. But the result was that they're covering up their medical information that would allow us to get treatment from the Veterans Administration.
Again, this just makes me so sad to have to talk about the people that serve our country, these people that go in believing in the free speech, the Constitution, the values that make this country worth dying for, are often the ones that they test on. And Desert Storm, you remember the Desert Storm illness, and it's just now starting to be recognized as a real one. That's suspected to be, again, a side effect of a vaccine that they were forced to take. Experimentation on troops at the ground level is just as common as experimentation on civilians. I wouldn't recommend going to a VA hospital, but I know it's free. There probably is no help once the damage is done, whatever it is. They aren't investing in a cure. So I'm sorry to say that.
They say that, you know, we have mental problems, you know, and they give you, like, antipsychotic drugs.
Yeah, well, that'd be great. If those work and eliminates all the symptoms, then take them, eliminates pain. But what ends up happening with a lot of these torture victims who are on the network is they start self-medicating. They start drinking too much, smoking too much, leading to an early death, just trying to alleviate the pain. And it's just a simple signal, modulating their body electricity. But, if you have your neurons at all tampered with by an ion heater, electromagnetic weapon, you can't function. And it also ends up discrediting the people who are talking about it, because the very thing that they could defend themselves with is being removed. Their soul, their thoughts, their personality is being tampered with. It's very evil.
Yeah, well, they have helped me, and I'm not mad. I'm depressed. I'm sad. I'm sad about it. But, I mean, I still believe in my country because it's a great country.
Yes. Well, you got to separate the evildoers from the good people. I mean, this country has so many great, fantastic people. If, they do always want to do the right thing, if only they knew we could come together and fix this. You can't generalize. That's a mistake. You got to start naming names on the ghost in the machine. No more evil aliens. Hold them accountable. And you should be on antidepressants. They really do work if you are depressed. I won't recommend anything because I'm not a medical doctor. But seek that out.
Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Okay, great. A caller earlier mentioned that you have been threatened, and actually I was threatened by a state detective a month ago, and I've been living in a shielded aluminum motorhome for the last year and a half with my two daughters. And another issue is my sister ran a pro-per legal service in Las Vegas for 20 years, and she was murdered 4 months ago. It was called PowerJusticeInc.org, trying to bring justice to this country. And I'm basically being targeted, and because of my religious beliefs. I talked to you about a month ago, George, and ran out of time at the end of the night, and that's fine. But I was a friend of Dr. Hynek's, and I've talked to Stanton Friedman over the years over a lot of
years. Right, I remember you, yeah.
But basically, I've been trying to get help with my medical issues, and I went into the hospital 2 years ago and told them I have 15 locations of pain. I have a collapsed nasal tip, and I suffer from sleep apnea, and I've had 250 accidents since about the age of four years old. I'm trying to get justice on this. I just have Medicaid. I'm living in poverty. And when I went back 2 days later to complain, they sent me home with Afrin. And it's like a catch-22. If you don't get the recommendation from a doctor or hospital, you're just stuck in the middle. I went back 2 days later and complained, and they locked me up against my will for 5 days, said I was bipolar, told me to take Zyprexa, and I pulled all the paperwork on this stuff. Luckily, I brought in a tape recorder with me, and in 5 days, when I told them I had the tape recorder, without the tape, I had snuck it out. They spit me out of there like a watermelon seed. I was out within an hour and a half. And I do have all the paperwork. It says they were going to change the drug to Zydis, and then they were going to change it to Depakote to make me conform. As soon as I told them I had the tape recorder, I was out of there. That was 2 years ago. And I've been living in this motorhome. I feel that I'm being targeted, and I didn't know this radio wave technology, what you're talking about.
Well, what are your symptoms? I mean, why do you believe you're being targeted?
Well, because I've contacted every agency that I'm not getting proper care. And when I was in the hospital, I told them I was a prophet. They said, how do you know you're a prophet? And I said, well, I wrote a song about the trade towers back in 1973, and this is legitimate. All my friends know I've done this. And I drew a picture of two airplanes running into two buildings in 1973. And recently there was – are you familiar with the Joan Lesko murders?
No, I'm not.
It's the federal judge, and she was against class action lawsuit for 600,000. 600,000 children weren't getting proper Medicaid care. In Chicago, you just don't get help if you're on Medicaid. And this is everybody's quitting and pointing a finger here in the medical industry in Chicago. So I'm right on the right track, but I've been persecuted because everybody blames me for not getting help.
You're covering a lot of different topics here. The medical field is headed for a big crash. I have seven doctors in my family, and so I get to listen to all the problems. That's typical. Somebody's going to have to sort it out. Future generations are not going to get any health care unless they're very wealthy. In terms of whether you're targeted or not, usually there are more specific symptoms. They can just try to destroy someone's life. That's standard operation, the spies. But what you said would not be the reason they would do it. Of all the people that I've interviewed, it spans religions. It's not about religion. They may want to make you believe that, and it's really hard to tell from your background. Much about your situation. It is standard procedure of discrediting when someone is grabbed for neurological experimentation.
Is this a plan by the globalists, Robert?
You heard it from Bush Sr., New World Order. World domination has always been everyone's dream. And so when you say global domination is, if we wanted to implement that, this country would have to become sort of more fascist and communist. Russia would have to be a little more capitalist. China would have to be a little more capitalist. Those are the superpowers. Then we could all merge. But that's a very bad idea. You need competition, just like in business, to give an incentive for the country to perform better. If you have one world government, there's no competition. It's monopoly.
No, that's true. Robert, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on the program.
Well, thank you very much, George. I've enjoyed it, and hopefully I've helped educate some people.
Absolutely. Pretty gutsy guy. Robert Duncan. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Gina Salvati, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.